Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media, and Fine Gael TD for Limerick. Good morning to you. Welcome to the programme.
Morning, Ciarán. Morning to your listeners.
You've published this national counter-disinformation strategy. What is that?
So look, it's a serious challenge for all democracies around the world. And the reality is that it has to be met by a whole of government and a whole of society and a whole of community response. We know that over the last number of years, with the advent of untrusted sources of news, that we have disinformation, which is, you know, that which is purposefully put out there to cause damage, and misinformation, which is kind of circulating in society by way of rumour and everything else, which might be made of mistake. And what we want to do is really give citizens, population, and media organisations as well, the tools with which that they can try and help to weed out what is actually fact-checked and a fact and is news, and what's rumour and damaging and seeks to. And we know from looking the last number of days, as a previous Minister for Further and Higher Education, we know that when you have a situation where disinformation and misinformation gravitates into third level institutions, what can happen there in another jurisdiction. So this is really important, and I think that from an Irish perspective, what we want to try and do, working with others, including on Commission Tawakan, the Electoral Commission, is really make people aware of the strategies and tools that are available, and get the assistance of people like RTE and the commercial radio stations and the commercial television stations in the country to be able to weed out what is fact and what is just blatant lie.
Yeah, but it should really be down to the social media companies. They should hold responsibility, shouldn't they, when it comes to tackling disinformation? I mean, in the last election, TikTok was found to have approved ads containing disinformation about that election, and they said we were unable to stop it.
Yeah, so look, on Commissioner Tawakan, we'll specifically deal with elections, and you're right, and there is a danger to democracy from all of this, but there's also a danger from day-to-day livelihoods and day-to-day, you know, tasks that we go about as to, you know, people being able to disseminate what is fact from what is fiction. Mm-hmm. And as a government, we've now published a strategy. It was independently chaired. The department provided a secretariat. Now we have a number of different actions under 9 different pillars, which we're now going to work on. It's in the programme for government. It's going to be funded and resourced. But we're going to rely on partners, including our public service broadcasters and our commercial broadcasters, and the social media platforms themselves as well, to work with us on weeding out something that really, to be quite honest about it, has become a global scourge, and is something that we can't allow to be unchallenged in the way that maybe it has been in some jurisdictions.
Right, so you'll have this oversight group which will be set up, and they're going to come up with an implementation plan. Is that the next step?
Yeah, under 9 different pillars, and you know what I want to do is I brought this to Cabinet this week, so I want to try and come back as quickly as possible with a series of actions. There will be a number of asks of people, including in the media. We've already put in place, for instance, a media fund to support organisations outside of RTE, for instance, like court reporting, local democracy and things like that, so that people can actually hear and read and see what's actually taking place in their local community. But I think there's a greater level of scope for this. And considering that it is an action point in the programme for government, it is something that we're really anxious and keen to get stuck into with Commission de Man, who are obviously the agency set up by the state to lead out on this. And there's not just with regard to the damage that it does to democracy and the whole carrying out of elections and everything like that, which is probably the one that everybody jumps to when they think about disinformation and misinformation, considering some of the characters that are, you know, engaged in that. But it also does irreparable, you know, reputational damage to some sports people in the media themselves, private citizens, and we need to have mechanisms there to, so that first of all the people that are reading it can disseminate and just say, well, look, that we know that that is a ball of you know what, but as well as that there has to be repercussions in terms of the damage it's caused to individuals as well.
Okay, listen, that last conversation we had on the programme I wanted to ask you about as well, because you are Minister for Tourism and...
I'm not. Peter Burke is, but I'm Minister for Arts, Culture, Media and Sport and Communication. So tourism has gone to Peter Burke and Gaeltacht has gone to Derek Cleary, but I heard the previous conversation.
Well, you have a good mix of titles there, so I'm going to ask you about it anyway. What do you think? Do you think it's going to work? And would it be something that you might welcome in Limerick?
Well, no, certainly not. I don't want to put any tax on anybody that wants to come into Limerick. I mean, if the Dublin local authorities are advocating to tax people going into their local area, I mean, I think it's going to put them at a competitive disadvantage. The first thing, and you know, we had a big discussion. I heard Peter Burke on this channel not that long ago talking about competitiveness. The last thing we need to do is to be adding costs, to be quite honest about it. And anyway, look, this would be a matter for the Minister for Finance, because you can't raise a tax in this country without government approval and the drafting of legislation by the Department of Finance, and I think that this was discussed previously, and I don't know how it would work that it would just attach to one county. But for argument's sake, if it did attach to just one county, I mean, what's to stop somebody of staying in Wicklow, getting to Darton and not paying the tax?
Right, you know, so you're saying the Dublin City Councils can't come together and do this unilaterally?
Well, they can come together and propose it, but I mean, ultimately the levying of taxes is an issue that is based with government. But
why, you know, why is the government so set against it? Because, I mean, Hazel Chu was saying there that it is done. I think it's done in 16 different places across the EU, and nobody seems to blink an eye at it.
Well, your other contributor, I think he was from Clue Bay, if I'm not
that's
mistaken.
Right.
Yeah, he said, you know, just because something is done in other European countries doesn't mean it has to be done here. You know, we have a different tax base, and we have a graduated tax base, and people pay a lot of tax here. They also pay the local property tax, and if local authorities and local authority members decide to either retain their local property tax at a particular rate or cut it and then blame the government, you know, they have a revenue-raising stream. They have two revenue-raising streams that they have recourse to. And actually, to be honest about it, as somebody who goes to Dublin every week, three or four times a week, I wouldn't take Hazel Chu's comments lying down. I don't see the dirty, filthy city that she's talking about. You know, I work on the south side of Dublin and I stay on the north side. That's not the city that I stay in. I see a very welcoming and a very well-presented city, and I certainly don't see, and I'm there morning and night.
Yeah, well,
every
we know
week.
There have been alleyways off O'Connell Street that have been closed altogether. You know, there is a shortage of public toilets, and you
but
might
have
see
have you
it,
been to New York lately, Claire, or San Francisco, or London?
But look, you can always make it better, I suppose, is the point.
Of course you can make it better, but I think putting a tax on people and telling them, you know, we're going to make your trip to Dublin even more expensive than it is at the moment. Like, it's easy knowing that a lot of people that come up with these ideas, maybe, you know, they don't sit down with hoteliers, or don't sit down with restaurateurs, or don't sit down with publicans. The last thing we need, to be quite honest about it, is another tax that's going to make people feel more unwelcome. And as I say, they'll stay in Wicklow, they'll stay in Kildare, and maybe go to Cork or go to Limerick or Galway. And wouldn't that be totally counterproductive for the Dublin tourism industry?
All right. Listen, we'll leave that one there. We'll come back now to your brief or thereabouts. I know the Minister for Justice has responsibility for the defamation bill. The government is committed, though, to passing that. Do you have a timeline, or have you spoken to the Minister for Justice on when we might see that passed?
Yeah, so look, I met the Minister for Justice with officials from my own department and his department there recently. He's working on it. I don't have a timeline on it, to be quite honest about it, but it is something that, look, I know it is the Department of Justice are leading out on it. It's a commitment within the programme for government, but Jim McCallaghan is committed to working with my department and others on this, and it is going to be prioritised by him. So, look, I hope to see progress on it soon.
Now, the Netflix levy, very controversial. The levy proposed on streaming services, you clearly don't want it. Larry Bass, who runs, people will know, a large Irish production company, says it could lead to the independent sector producing more Irish content, but you're not listening to that argument, or you're not buying that argument.
Well, first of all, you know, no more than levying taxes at a time, you know, for tourists coming into the country who want to stay in Dublin. I think people pay an awful lot in this country at the moment for entertainment, whether it's their television licence, whether it is the bailout of RTE of €725 million, or whether it is their individual streaming levies, whether they're paying it direct debit on a monthly basis or paying it annually, they pay for a lot. And, you know, this is an option that member states within the European Union have. Some have decided to levy it, some have decided not to levy it. What I have decided to do is put into legislation the concept of the levy and levy it at zero, so that at some stage in the future...
But he makes the point, Larry Bass, that you've been very strident on it. Like, have you had any consultation on this?
Of course I have.
Industry or public consultation?
So, like, Commissioner Mann commissioned a report, which is due to be published. I've had it, I've read it, I've discussed it with him, I've discussed it with my own officials. And I think at a time, you know, with cost of living, with difficulties that have emerged with regard to the European Union and the United States of America with regard to tariffs and everything else like that, the levying on what would absolutely be perceived as a tariff on United States streaming companies, like the timing for this just could not be worse for a multiplicity of reasons. And that being said, I mean, I listen to your show most days. Every day there is somebody that feels that something is costing too much and the government should intervene to reduce the cost of it. The reality is that this levy would absolutely be passed on to the consumer. There is no doubt in my mind. Show me a levy on health insurance or this insurance or that insurance that isn't passed on to the consumer. I mean, even the previous conversation.
Larry Bass says that the 16 European countries that have introduced similar schemes have not seen a reciprocal increase in subscription rates.
It's interesting that because none of those European countries, to my knowledge, have a broadcasting charging set up like we have. So several European countries, including the Netherlands and other similar sized countries to ourselves, have decided not to do it because we have a television license here with €160 per annum that we want people to pay, and thankfully it is recovering. But we also have a situation where directly out of the Exchequer, we're making significant contributions, whether it is either to Screen Ireland, whether it is to local broadcasters through the courts reporting and local authority reporting, or whether it is, as I say, the €725 million that we're giving to RTE to make sure that the company stays afloat. So Irish consumers are paying a lot. And there is no doubt in my mind, absolutely zero, that if we levy this, first of all, it'll be seen in the United States as an unfair tariff on companies. That's the first thing. But it will absolutely be passed on. And the report that I had from Commissioner Newman identifies that as a key risk.
And it also says that there is no reason to suggest
that even if we do go ahead with this levy, that it will result in any new productions.
Well, these companies are coming in here and using Ireland for new material. And we see the announcement about the Jason Corbett documentary. We've had others in the past, and we have had dramas set here and so on.
Absolutely.
So why,
without levies,
why
without
shouldn't levies. They contribute though?
No, but why should they have to pay a levy to come in and produce material here that is entertaining the Irish population and taking Ireland all over the world? By the way, this has been supported by the Irish government, whether it is Section 481 of the Finance Act or whether it is directly through supports that we can give through Screen Ireland or whether it is uplifts that local authorities can give as well in terms of reducing costs. A lot of public money already goes into productions that are made in Ireland. So don't be under any illusion that production companies are not getting anything. And actually this week in the Cabinet, one of the things that I did do was to make sure, for instance, that 25% of the monies that are going to RTE in the future must go to independent broadcasters, which will actually benefit the likes of Sinn Féin. It'll enshrine in legislation that they will actually have to get from the monies that they get from the state.
I suppose
25% has to go to independent manufacturers.
It's interesting as well that you're saying no to this, in part at least, because you don't want to poke the Donald Trump bear.
I live in a bubble, Claire. I mean, I live in a world where I wake up in the morning and I see what the push alerts have from the night before, and I would be absolutely deluded to think that the levying of a tax by the Irish government on producers predominantly from the United States of America would be welcomed in Washington.
Listen, you mentioned RTE a couple of times there, and the RTE redundancy scheme now has approval. Do you know how many people will be leaving RTE and what the time frame is?
So we have, I met the chairman of RTE during the week. We had a very, very good meeting. And obviously they now have approval from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform to go ahead with the scheme as they presented it to myself and my department. They now have to seek expressions of interest and it has to be done by 2025. So once they have expressions of interest got from employees, you know, I know anecdotally from people in the west of Ireland and the southwest of Ireland, some people are at a particular point in either their career or their family situation where they would like to go, and more power to them. This will allow them to do that now.
Did the chairman tell you how many people will be going in 2025?
No, he didn't. And by the way, you know, the chairman represents the minister's position within the board. Has a difficult job to do and has a difficult tightrope to do. And I have every confidence that what he's doing is the right thing by RTE and the taxpayer and the company. So they only got approval in the recent couple of days, in the recent fortnight. So once that's once they get a chance to, I suppose, shake the bushes now to see how many people are likely to take it up, they'll have a costed response and they'll be able to come back. But I obviously, because it is a condition of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, this particular round of redundancies has to be wound up by the end of the 31st of December. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to say that there can't be further rounds in subsequent years along the same line.
And the cap of 300,000 on the exit
yes.
payments, you're happy with that, are you?
I am, and no one from the leadership team can apply for it, and I think the public would be happy with that. Because
we've seen in recent times, you know, people leaving the HSE with close to 400,000. Like, why is there a lower cap for RTE people but not for the HSE?
Because it's a bespoke organisation, and you know, it like this does not come, to be fair, and your listeners will appreciate this has not come with in some sort of a isolated silo. The taxpayers are already very exposed to making sure that RTE has a sustainable future, and you know, I don't want that exposure to grow any further. But what I do want to do is see a smaller, leaner, more efficient operation that goes back to the first point of our conversation, which is an integral part to making sure that which is fact and that which is fiction can be disseminated by a modern, fit-for-purpose broadcaster that can be an integral part of our democracy. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a long way to go to that, but I think it's on the right path.
All right, Patrick O'Donovan, thank you for being with us.
Thank
Minister
you.
For Arts, Culture, Communications, Media and Sport there. Back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.